Chapter 60. He was Ulysses. They were in the woods. He could tell by the smell of pine resin in the trees and the sound of pine needles crunching underfoot. Also, there was the powerful, extremely pervasive scent of raccoon. Raccoons own the night, and raccoons were truly terrifying creatures, more brutal even than cats. "This will do," said Flora's mother. She stopped. She put the sack down on the ground, and then she opened it and shone a bright light on Ulysses. He clutched his poem to his chest. He stared into the light as bravely as he could. "Give me that," said Flora's mother. She pulled the paper out of his paws. She threw it to the ground. Would she ever tire of flinging his words away? "This is the end of the road, Mr. Squirrel," she said. She put the flashlight on the ground. She picked up a shovel. The shovel. He heard Flora's voice saying, "Remember who you are." The squirrel turned and sniffed his tail. He thought about when Flora had shown him the picture of Alfred T. Slipper in the janitor uniform, and how Alfred had been transformed into the bright light that was Incandesto. The words from the poem that Tootie had recited rose up inside of him. "Flare up like flame and make big shadows. He wasn't a stone squirrel. He was Ulysses. Arg! Eek!" Chapter 61. I Want to Go Home. You can navigate by the North Star, supposedly. Moss grows on the north side of trees, or so they say. If you are lost in the woods, you should stay where you are, and someone will come and find you. Maybe. These were the things that Flora had learned about being lost from reading. Terrible things can happen to you. Not that any of it was particularly relevant here. They weren't lost in the woods. They were lost in the universe, which, according to William Spivor, was expanding. How comforting. "Ulysses!" shouted Tootie. "Ulysses!" shouted Flora. "It's pointless," said William Spivor. Flora was carrying Marianne, and William Spivor was holding on to Tootie's shoulder. Flora hated to agree with William Spivor, but pointless seemed like an increasingly appropriate word. Her arms ached from carrying the little shepherdess. Her feet hurt. Her head hurt. "Let's see," said Tootie, peering into the darkness. "That's Bricknell Road up there, so we're not truly lost." "I wish I could see," said William Spivor in a sad voice. "You can see," said Tootie. "Great Aunt Tootie," said William Spivor, "I am loath, as always. I point out the obvious, but I will do it here and now for the sake of clarity. You are not me. You do not exist behind my traumatized eyeballs. I am telling the truth, my truth. I cannot see." "There's nothing wrong with you, William," said Tootie. "How many times do I have to tell you that?" "Why did she send me away then?" said William Spivor. His voice shook. "You know why she sent you away."
"I do?"
"You can't just push somebody's truck into a lake," said Tootie.
"It was a pond," said William Spivor. "A very small pond. More of a sinkhole, actually."
"You cannot totally submerge somebody's vehicle in a body of water," said Tootie in a very loud voice, "and expect that there aren't going to be severe consequences."
"I did it in a fit of anger," said William Spivor. "I admitted almost immediately that it was a very unfortunate decision."
Tootie shook her head.
"You pushed a truck into a lake?" said Flora. "How did you do that?"
"I released the parking brake, and I put the truck in drive, and I..."
"That's enough," said Tootie. "We don't need a how to push a truck into a lake lecture."
"Sinkhole," said William Spivor. "It was really a sinkhole."
"Wow," said Flora. "Why did you do it?"
"I was exacting my revenge upon Tyrone," said William Spivor. "My name is William. William. William Spivor. Not Billy. I was Billy one too many time. I was Billy one time too many," I cracked. "I pushed Tyrone's truck into the sinkhole, and when my mother found out, she was incandescent with rage. I looked upon her rage, and you know what happened then? I was blinded by disbelief and sorrow." He shook his head.
I'm her son, but she made me leave. She sent me away. Even in the darkness, Flora could see the tears crawling out from underneath William Spiver's dark glasses. I want to be called William Spiver, he said. I want to go home. Flora felt her heart lurch inside of her. I want to go home. It was another one of William Spiver's sad, beautiful sentences. But will you return? I came looking for you. I want to go home. Flora realized she wanted to go home too. She wanted things to be the way they were before she was banished. She put Marianne down on the ground. Give me your hand, she said. What? Said William Spiver. Give me your hand, said Flora again. My hand? Why? Flora reached out and grabbed hold of William Spiver's hand, and he held on to her. It was as if he were drowning, and she was standing on solid ground. According to terrible things, drowning people were desperate, out of their minds with fear. In their panic, they could pull you, the rescuer, under if you weren't careful. So, Flora held on tightly to William Spiver, and he held on tightly back. It was just like her dream. She was holding William Spiver's hand, and he was holding hers. Well, if you two are going to walk around holding hands, said Tootie, I suppose I'll have to be the one who carries this monstrosity of a lamp. She picked up Marianne. Above them, the stars were brilliant, shining brighter than Flora had ever seen them shine. I wish my father were here, said William Spiver. He wiped out the tears on his face with his free hand. An image of Flora's father, hands in his pockets, hat on his head, smiling and saying, Holy Begumba! In the voice of Dolores, rose up in Flora's mind. Her father, she loved him. She wanted to see his face. I know where we should go, said Flora. Chapter 62. Atop a Giant Donut. The superhero flew over the sleeping world. The world was beautiful and he was alive. Man, there sure are a lot of houses. They sure do look alike. Also, the superhero was lost. Flora? Here I am, sitting on top of the giant donut. I wish Flora were here with me.
Flora?
Chapter 63, Little Fishes. A squirrel flies in, said Dr. Meacham. This I did not expect at all. It is what I love about life, that things happen which I do not expect. When I was a girl in Blundermeason, we left the window open for this very reason, even in the winter. We did it because we believed something wonderful might make its way to us through the open window. Did wonderful things find us? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But tonight, it had happened. Something wonderful. Dr. Meacham clapped her hands. A window has been left open. A squirrel flies in the window. The heart of an old woman rejoices. Ulysses' heart rejoiced too. He wasn't lost anymore. Dr. Meacham would help find Flora. Also, Dr. Meacham might make him a jelly sandwich. Imagine, Dr. Meacham, imagine if I had been sleeping. What would I have missed? But then, always and forever, I have been an insomniac. You know what that is? You know what this is, insomnia? Ulysses shook his head. It means I do not sleep. When I was a girl in Blundermeason, I did not sleep. You know why? It could be some existential terror related to the trolls, or it could be simply because I do not sleep. Sometimes there are no reasons. Often, most of the time, there are no reasons. The world cannot be explained, but I talk too much. I digress. I need to say to you, why are you here, and where is your Flora Bell? Ulysses looked at Dr. Meacham. He made his eyes very big. If only there were some way to tell her everything that had happened. Flora's mother saying that life would be easier without her. The universe expanding. William Spiver's banishment. Flora's homesickness. The writing of his poem. The typing of the untrue words. The stone squirrel. The sack. The woods. The shovel. The squirrel was overwhelmed by everything there was to say and his inability to say it. He looked down at his front paws. He looked back up at Dr. Meacham. Ah, she said. There is too much to say. You do not know where to begin. Ulysses nodded. Perhaps it would be good to begin with a little snack. Ulysses nodded again. When the other Dr. Misham was alive, and I could not sleep, do you know what he would do for me? This man would put on his slippers, and he would go out into the kitchen, and he would fix for me sardines on crackers. You know sardines? Ulysses shook his head. Little fishes in a can. He would put these little fishes onto crackers for me, and then I would hear him coming back down the hallway, carrying the sardines and humming, returning to me. Dr. Misham sighed. Such tenderness. To have someone get out of bed and bring you little fishes and sit with you as you eat them in the dark of the night, to hum to you. This is love. Dr. Misham wiped out her eyes. She smiled at Ulysses. So, she said, I will make for you what my beloved made for me, sardines on crackers. Does this seem like a good thing? Ulysses nodded. It seemed like a very good thing. We will eat because this is important to eat. And then, even though it is the middle of the night, we will go and knock on the door of Mr. George Buckham, and he will open the door to us because he is capacious of heart. And then George Buckham and I will figure out together why you are here and where our Flora Bell is. Ulysses nodded. Dr. Misham went into the kitchen, and the squirrel sat on the windowsill and looked out into the dark world. Flora was out there somewhere. He would find her. She would find him. They would find each other. And then he would write her another poem. This one would be about little fishes and humming in the dark of the night. Chapter 64, A Miracle. Flora was on the side of the highway. There were, she had discovered, all kinds of ridiculous things strewn along the side of the road. Shoes, for one thing, and balled up knee-high stockings, and polyester slacks, baby blue ones with a permanent crease. Did people undress as they drove down the road? There were metal objects, hubcaps, a pair of rusty scissors, a spark plug, and there were truly inexplicable things. For instance, a plastic banana glowing a bright and unreal yellow in the dark. That one was interesting. Flora bent down to examine it more closely. What are you doing? Said William Spiver. He stopped, too, because she was attached to him and he was attached to her. Which is to say that William Spiver and Flora Bell Buckman were, unbelievably, still holding hands. I'm looking at a banana, said Flora. Tootie was marching ahead of them, holding the little shepherdess out in front of her and shouting Ulysses' name. William Spiver's hand was getting kind of sweaty. Or maybe it was Flora's hand that was getting sweaty? It was hard to say. William Spiver was still crying silently, and Ulysses was still missing, and here they were walking along a highway behind an unlit lamp, stopping occasionally to look at knee-high stockings and plastic bananas. It all must mean something. But what? Flora mentally flipped through every issue of The Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto, every issue of Terrible Things Can Happen to You, and The Criminal Element is Among Us, that she had ever read. She searched for some kind of advice, acknowledgement, the tiniest clue about what to do in this situation. She came up empty-handed. She was on her own. She laughed. What are you laughing about? Said William Spiver. Flora laughed louder. William Spiver laughed along with her. What's so funny back there? Said Tootie. Everything, said Flora. Whee, said Tootie. And then they were all laughing, except for Marianne, who couldn't laugh because she was inanimate. But even if she had been capable of laughing, she probably wouldn't have done it. She just wasn't that kind of lamp. They were all still laughing when the temporarily blind William Spiver stepped on the cord of the little shepherdess and tripped. And because he refused to let go of Flora's hand, or did she refuse to let go of his, Flora fell too. She landed on top of William Spiver. There was a crunch and then a tinkle. Oh no, said William Spiver. My glasses, they're broken. For heaven's sake, William, said Tootie, you don't even need those glasses. Flora was so close to William Spiver that she could feel his heart beating wildly somewhere inside of him. She thought, I sure have felt a lot of hearts recently. Wait a minute, said William Spiver. He held his hands up. Everyone be quiet. Shh! What are those tiny pinpricks of light?
Flora looked where William Spiver was looking.
Those are stars, William Spiver. I can see stars! I can see! Great Aunt Tootie, Flora Bella, I can see!
It's a miracle, said Tootie. Or something, said Flora.